Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. First of all, thank you very much, my dear brother Haj Abu Hussein, Haj Samir Amiri, for your wonderful words. I thought tonight is the last night, so now you have increased my difficulty for preparing another majlis. Inshallah, we'll do our best, and the brothers and sisters will excuse me for that. And the second, thank you very much, Sister Afifa, for your moving and inspirational and emotional speech that you gave. May Allah bless you. These are very important words that you touched on, inshallah, during my brief talk tonight, presentation, I will talk about the lamentation. Before we continue, brothers and sisters, as you know, newcomers are coming to the majlis. Therefore, I would request that everyone to stand up and move closer to the podium. رحم الله من ذكر القائم من آل محمد. Please stand up as a respect for the holy name of the Imam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And get it closer. More. So we don't have to do that over again. You know, we can make, please, little more. You know, I will feel the warmth, you know, and the closeness. We will have a cozy meeting. As we say, when you were close to me. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu alayka ya sayyidi wa ya maulaya ya rasulallah. Sallallahu alayka ya sayyidi wa ya maulaya ya aba abdillah. Ya rahmatallahi alwasi'ah. ويا باب نجاة الأمة يا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز فوزا عظيما من زيارة لسيدنا ومولانا الإمام المهدي المنتظر عجل الله فرجه لجده الحسين عليه السلام يا جد لئن أخرتني الدهور وعاقني عن نصرك المقدور لأندبنك صباحا ومساء ولأبكين عليك بدل الدموع دما صدق إمامنا وسيدنا القائم المنتظر صلوا على محمد This night is a special night, the night of a grief and anguish. When you count the nights throughout the mankind history, you will not find any night equal to such night that equals or, you know, close even to the somber mood. To the mood of a grief and sorrow that has engulfed so many people, the masses of people. Last night, I alluded to the causes that have kept the movement of Imam Hussein and the legacy of Imam Hussein so perpetual, and I have said that you do not see such event that has done such a remarkable mobilization of people when they put their emotions their sincere emotions into discipline. You cannot find any faith, any religion, any culture, not even any personality within the religion of Islam, and without religion of Islam, you do not see such person have come, have displayed this remarkable courage. He was murdered, he was martyred, and the people after him for, you know, such a long time have shown their emotion, despite the longevity of the tragedy, over 14 centuries. Still, the memory is very vivid. Many people forget their plights, forget their own ordeals. Every one of us, sometime throughout our lives, we have been touched by tragedy, by sad news, by sadness. But after a while, everyone recovers. Everyone forgets, or tend to forget, except the memory of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This poet says in Arabic, says, أنست رزيتكم رزايانا التي سلفت وهونت الرزايا الآتية وفجايع الأيام تبقى مدة وتزول وهي إلى القيامة باقية. Your tragedy has made us forget. We became oblivious about our own past tragedy. Has reduced also the effect of the future tragedy. Our tragedies stay for a while. They're a transit. By time they disappear, except your own tragedy that will stay until the day of judgment. You see, brothers and sisters, when we are inflicted by a loss of a loved one, when we have a commemoration, a burial service for that person, whom do we mention? We mention the plight and the tragedy of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Many people weep and show their emotions not to the loss of that person, rather to the loss of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. This is very unique. One unique aspect of this tragedy, that it has been spontaneous. The masses have shown their emotion very spontaneously, and it has been so pervasive everywhere. You look at as far east as China, come to Afghanistan, to Mazar Sharif, go to Pakistan, come to Iran, to Iraq, to Syria, to Lebanon, to Sana'a in Yemen. You see, the emotions are all similar, so pervasive. And what makes it even more unique is that the masses are all drawn to this event, while the ideologues, the thinkers, those who make theories, the jurists, they sit down and rationalize for it, while they're trailing the masses. You see, in any creed, any religion, any faith, when there is an important point to make it significant, those thinkers rationalize for this in advance so people can follow. They attract people by their thinking, by their rationalizing, and make it logical, that point that they want to show. Except the legacy of Imam Hussein. People are drawn to this, you know, spontaneously with their own emotion. Then the thinkers sit down and try to analyze what has happened. This is very unique to the revolution of Imam Hussein. There are two fruits that this revolution has given. One I talked about last night. The other one is, you see, the unity of purpose. The followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam have gotten a unity of purpose, a unity of hope, unity of concern, even unity of fear, and unity of action. Today, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the blessings of Ahlul Bayt, the Shia throughout the world are like a single block. Wherever you look, look at Mazar Sharif, go to Quetta, go to Tabriz, go to Sana'a, go to Beirut, they all under one slogan, and that is Labbaik Ya Hussein.
That is something unheard of. You see, they are all in a single block, one single unit. When they are united, they become unbreakable. No one can break them. If you doubt what I see, what I say, look at the epic of Arba'een, the 40th of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The government declares more than 15, 18 million people visit the Imam alayhi salam within these 2 months, from the 1st of Muharram until the end of Safar. They say more than 15, 18 million people visit the Imam. They are, you know, millions of people who pour in and come to pay homage to the Imam alayhi salam. I am an eyewitness. I have seen this. Look at the harmony between people. Look at the state of utopia between people. Just recently, look at the disaster that took place in Hajj in Mina. Only 2 million people, more than 1,500 people died senselessly. How do we attribute this? Yes, number one is the mismanagement, the incompetency of the Saudi government. That's for sure. But in reality, hundreds fold of this number come to Karbala. But you don't see this kind of, you know, tragedy. And will never, inshallah, will happen. Why? Because there is a sense of harmony. Because they are all faithful. They love each other. They have a feeling toward each other. If someone wants to collapse, the other one sacrifices himself for the other one. That is unheard of. You see, people, those who participated in the march, the procession going from Najaf or from the south toward Karbala, there are people, there are respected individuals. Some of them are businessmen, some of them are, you know, religious people, religious leaders. They stand in the road. They only wash the feet and the leg of the marchers, of those who come to pay homage to Imam Hussein. Do you see that in Hajj, for example? Many of you have gone to Hajj and they have seen how some people take advantage of the Hajjaj. But when you see the epic of Imam Hussein, you see it has created a sense of utopia, sense of unity that does not exist anywhere else. This is one of the roots of the revolution of Imam Hussein. The other one, the one that I talked about it last night, it is the sense of revolution, the sense of rebellion against the tyrants. Wherever you see there is a revolution, you will see it has been inspired by the rebellion and revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That's why the tyrants, those despots, they hate the memory of Hussein. Wherever they are, whether they are secular or religious or Alawi or non-Alawi. Whenever they hear the word of Hussein, they shake, they tremble, because they know they cannot coexist with this name. These are two fruits that the revolution of Imam Hussein has given us. Now, I want to talk a little bit more briefly about the strategies that Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam have implemented in order to secure those two fruits. What they did, so they made the legacy of Imam Hussein to stay. Last night, my topic, how they became immortal. And I talked about the three factors. But those things, the ones that I am talking about, is related to us. What we should do and how Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam has put forward a strategy to ensure the continuation, the bond that we have with Imam Hussein after your big and loud salawat. The first strategy, brothers and sisters, it is the majalis, these congregations that we hold, these gatherings that we hold. This has happening, you know, long time ago, from the time of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. One day the Imam alayhi salam tells one of his companions, Al-Fudayl ibn Yasar, tell him, Ya Fudayl, atajlusuna wa tatahaddathun? Would you sit down and talk about our affairs? He says, Na'am, yes, ya ibn Rasulillah. The Imam alayhi salam says, Inni tilka al-majalis la uhibbuha. I love that kind of gathering. Those kind of gatherings are blessed. Ahyu amrana, rahimallah, عبدا أحيا أمرنا رحم الله من أحيا أمرنا. Whoever commemorates and revive our affairs, the Almighty blesses him, protects him, bestow mercy on him. The other one, Imam الرضا عليه السلام, says من جلس مجلسا يحيي فيه أمرنا لم يمت قلبه يوم تموت فيه القلوب. If someone sit down and revive our memory in such majalis, these good news are for you, brothers and sisters. Whoever sit down and revive our memory, his heart will never die on the day of judgment. What is the Imam trying to say here? Say that, you know, at the same time that we are united behind the follower, behind Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, the enemy is also united against us. They had mass media. They had the public arena. They had the governments. So the government from day one, they started to distort the image of Ahlul Bayt and twist the realities and facts, you know, by dissemination of falsehood. These majalis, the Imam says, these majalis are the ones that tell people, that disseminate the true knowledge of Ahlul Bayt al-Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The man asked the Imam, al-Imam al-Rida, tells him, Yabna Rasulullah, how we should revive your memory? Tell us, do you have something in mind? The Imam alayhi salam says, أن يتعلم علومنا. Learn our knowledge, ويعلمها الناس. فإن الناس لو علموا محاسن كلامنا لاتبعونا. Learn our knowledge, learn our wisdom, and then tell others. When you disseminate our words to others, they spontaneously will follow us. لو سمعوا محاسن كلامنا لاتبعونا. You don't need to waste your time for advertisement. The minute that you talk about the words of Ahlul Bayt, people spontaneously will follow through. Why? Because it's the true knowledge. Many people didn't know that Imam Hussein used to pray. Many people of Sham, they were surprised to see the children of Hussein recite Quran. When Ali ibn al-Hussein alayhi salam tells that man, tells him, وَقَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ, have you recited Quran? He tells him, what are you? What kind of connection you have with Quran? You're not supposed to talk about Quran. You're non-Muslim. That much people have been brainwashed. Now, how do you change their, you know, falsehood and misleading that they had in their brain? Is when you present them with reality. How? With these kind of majalis. With these kinds of gatherings. Why? You see, brothers and sisters, unfortunately, and this is goes for both sides, the Shia and Sunni, both of them do not read books. Despite the fact that we have a plenty of texts and books, yet only collection, only handful of people who read books. So these majalis, these type of gatherings, these type of presentations become, you know, a book by themselves. They become informative. That's why you see that the Shia, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, they have gained so much knowledge compared to others. Why? Because they attend these gatherings in Muharram. They attend the gathering in Ramadan. These have become the prime source of dissemination of knowledge toward others. Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam started this strategy from day number one. When the household of Hussein alayhi salam were taken from Karbala and were brought to Kufa, the first one who gave a speech, the first one who started the majlis of Imam Hussein was his sister Zainab. When she had her elegant and decisive sermon in Kufa, she didn't denigrate them. She didn't verbally attack them. But she told them, did you know what did you do? She just wanted to bring them to their conscience of their crime. She just wanted to tell them, have you noticed what you have done? That's it. No more. She didn't tell them, why did you kill him? Or bad for you that you've killed him. Or such and such uncalling names. No. She just wanted to bring them to their own mind and their own conscience of the crime and the atrocity that they have committed. She said, وَيْلَكُمْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكُوفَةِ أَتَدْرُونَ أَيَّ كَبِدٍ لَرَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَرَيْتُمْ. Do you know what kind of heart for the prophets you have chopped off? وَأَيُّ دَمٍ لَهُ سَفَكْتُمْ. Do you know what kind of blood for Rasulullah that you spilled? وَأَيُّ حُرْمَةٍ لَهُ أَنْكَبْتُمْ. What kind of sanctity you have obliterated? وَأَيُّ كَرِيمَةٍ لَهُ أَبْرَسْتُمْ. Do you know what kind of a precious daughter you have exposed? The precious daughter of Rasulullah you brought forward. Do you know what kind of sin, what kind of a crime you have committed? أَوَعَجِبْتُمْ أَنْ مَطَرَتِ السَّمَاءُ دَمًا. Would you be surprised if there is a blood in the rain, raining like a blood? وَلَعَذَابُ اللَّهِ أَخْزَى. Then she tells them, then the Rawi, the narrator, says that, فَرَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ حَيَارًا. I have seen all people were puzzled. يَبْكُونَ. All are weeping and crying. وَقَدْ وَضَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمْ فِي أَفْوَاهِمْ. They were so puzzled. They were brought to their conscience at that time. The second one who gave sermon, who gave the majalis, the majlis of Imam Hussein, was Ali ibn al-Hussein in the courtyard of Yazid ibn Muawiyah, inshallah. Again, he did not talk philosophy. He did not talk about complicated things. He didn't talk about science. He didn't try to pursue people about the way of Ahlul Bayt. He only revealed his own identity. He just told people who he was. He was just telling them his own biography. In his word, he says, أيها الناس أنا ابن مكة ومنى. This regime, this government, and this king claims that we are all apostates. We are heretic. We're non-Muslims. They have brought us. Many people thought that those captives have been brought from outside the Islamic territory. They thought they were brought them from, you know, from the Constantinople, from a remote location. The Imam alayhi salam is correcting the ideas, correcting, you know, their ideas, saying, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنَا ابْنُ مَكَّةَ وَمِنَا أَنَا ابْنُ زَمْزَمَ وَالصَّفَى. This is the place that you go and worship and circle around the Kaaba. That was my birthplace. أَنَا ابْنُ مَنْ حَمَلَ الرُّكْنَ بِأَطْرَافِ الرِّدَى أَنَا ابْنُ مَنْ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّى فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنَ أَوْ أَدْنَى. I am the son of the Prophet that you every day 10 times you declare on the Adhan, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. اللهم صل على محمد. Then he talks about his grandmother. He talks about Fatima and Khadija. أَنَا ابْنُ فَاطِمَةَ الزَّهْرَى أَنَا ابْنُ خَدِيجَةَ الْكُبْرَى. Then he gives his own, you know, direct identity. He says, أَنَا ابْنُ الْمَقْتُولِ ظَلْمًا. I am the son of that man who was killed for no reason. أَنَا ابْنُ مَحْزُوزَ الرَّأْسِ مِنَ الْقَفَى. I am the son of that man that they have butchered him, cut his throat from his back. أَنَا ابْنُ الْعَطْشَانِ حَتَّى قَضَى. The norm was in every culture, in every nation, when they want to execute somebody, they would ask him his wish. They would tell him his need. That's a universal norm. Everywhere, even during the Jahiliyyah, even during the Roman Empire, when they execute someone, the last minute they tell him, what is your wish? Imam Zainul Abidin says that even this wish didn't come true for my father. He was on the ground begging, pleading for water. They didn't give him. أَنَا ابْنُ الْعَطْشَانِ حَتَّى قَضَى أَنَا ابْنُ مَسْلُوبَ الْعِمَامَةِ وَالْرِدَى. That was my father. Very plain, very simple, very clear and vivid, showing to people who were Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. You know, That has changed the Majlis to the point that there was a revolt going to start, where Yazid declared to the Mu'addin to call for the prayer, which was not at the time of prayer. Why? To keep things calm. You see how much a thoughtful and enlightened Majlis will do to people? That was the ability of Ahlul Bayt. Therefore, you see, members of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam always were advocating attending the majalis. One day, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi as-salam tells his companion, one of his companions, his name I think it was Al-Mufaddal ibn Umar. Mufaddal ibn Umar used to hold regularly, you know, a majlis commemorating the memory of Imam Hussein. But sometimes, on purpose, he would not invite Al-Imam al-Sadiq to his home. For the reason that he would see the Imam get tormented, get very emotional, with when once he hears the legacy and the name of his grandfather. Therefore, for the safety of the Imam, he didn't want to see him in such kind of emotional state, he would not invite him. One day, Al-Imam al-Sadiq told him, Mufaddal, last night you had a memory of my father, of my grandfather. You had a majlis for Imam Hussein at your house. Is that right? He said, yes. Imam al-Sadiq told him, I attended that majlis. Mufaddal was surprised. Told him, how did you attend? I didn't see you. He said, didn't you remember on the doorstep you stumbled by a dress? A white dress was there that you stumbled with it? He said, yes, I remember. He said, the owner of that white dress, it was me. I have covered my face, you didn't see me. I was sitting right at the doorstep. You didn't notice me. The man was in shame. Said, Ya ibn Rasulullah, why didn't you go inside? Why didn't you go to take the lead in the majlis? Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, how would I take the lead when I see Rasulullah and Fatima al-Zahra and Ali ibn Abi Talib are sitting there? My position will be right at the doorstep. I would not go take a precedence. Today, one of my brothers said, they had a meeting in my dear brother's Haj Shahidi's Majlis last night, yesterday. He said, I felt that there is an infallible there. I felt the spirit of the infallible. I said, Alhamdulillah, this is what we should feel. Because Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, especially his mother, Fatima al-Zahra, would not leave any majlis, any memory of her son without attending. So that was strategy number one. Second, inshallah, I will go faster. It is that when they encourage everybody to visit the shrine of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. There are so many narrations on the encouragement, encouraging people to visit the shrine of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. When you look at the ziyarat, the homage to Imam, open Mafatih al-Jinan, and notice how many special homage, salutation to Imam Hussein alone by himself. More than 18 once. More than 18, the special salutation. And those are all verified by the author of the book, Sheikh Abbas al-Qummi. They're all verified. He narrates them all from the infallible Imams who have saluted, you know, have saluted the Imam. When you look, you will see first of Rajab, mid Sha'ban, on the first night of Ramadan, on the three nights of Layal al-Qadr, on the Eid, on the day of Arafah, on the Eid al-Adha, on the day of Muharram, on the Arba'een. This is in addition to every Thursday night, to every Friday afternoon, to every Monday. There are special salutations to the Imam, encouraging people to pay visit to his shrine. The Imam alayhi salam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَنْظُرْ إِلَى زُوَّارِ الْحُسَيْنِ يَوْمَ عَرَفَةِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَنْظُرْ إِلَى الْحَجِيجِ فِي يَوْمِ عَرَفَةِ. The Almighty, look at those people who visited the Imam on the day of Arafah before looking at those people who are on the Mount Arafat, and they are all Hujjaj. This is how much the Almighty praises and loves and admires those who visit the Imam alayhi salam. There are many stories. despite the fact that the government, you know, stood against them, despite the harassment, despite the ridiculing, mocking, attacking, killing, even nowadays. You know, when people go to visit the shrine of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, they're not immune. They don't know what will happen. Not even one time the imams told their followers, do not go. It is too dangerous for you. You should not go. Not if they always encouraged the imam. They told them, go and visit. Even for those cruel enemies, maybe you will change them. Maybe when they see you going, they will change them. It is narrated that one day, a worker came from the north of Karbala, from Baghdad. It's narrated that he was coming toward visiting the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In the meanwhile, in the road, somebody harassed him and ridiculed him and denigrated him, used some bad words against this man that really has broken this man's heart. He said to that person, he said, when I go, I will curse you under the shrine of Imam Hussein and under the shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, under the dome of Amir al-Mu'mineen. When he got to the shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he grabbed the shrine and begged the imam, said, I don't have anything, I don't want to ask anything, but I want you to bring your wrath and damnation against this man. He cursed the man and leaves. He sleeps that night. When he sleeps, he see Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam coming to his dream, telling him, you have asked me for something, but I cannot deliver. I cannot do this. He said, why, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, this man is your enemy. Why don't you do this? He said, no, this man has a favor. He has a favor on us that I cannot do this. He said, what did he do? He said, one day, this man was on the river Euphrates. He looked at this river, this vast river flowing. He said, La'anallah Bani Umayyah. May God curse Bani Umayyah. So much water. Still they kept it away from Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. And then one tear developed right on his eyes. I cannot do it. This man has a favor on us. I cannot punish him. This man, when goes back, that person was waiting for him. Waiting for the punishment. When see the man, tells him, nothing has happened to me. He said, yes, I know, because Ali ibn Abi Talib told me that one day you have said such and such. He said, is that true? Ali ibn Abi Talib has told you this? He said, yes. That man changes to become one of the followers of Imam Hussein. He was a great poet. He's written many poetry for the sake of Imam Hussein. That much, you know, a homage visiting to Imam Hussein can change people. Here al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, Allahumma khfirli, in his sujood, he's prostrating and says, Allahumma khfirli wa li-ikhwani wa li-zuwar qabri abi abdillah al-Husayn alladhina anfaqu amwalahum, they spend their money, wa ashkhasu abdanahum, they put their bodies into trouble and hardship, raghbatan fi birrina. Allahumma inna a'da'ana 'abu 'alayhim, the same way that our enemies today, they insult us, they scold us for visiting the imam. Even that time 1400 years ago, they used to do to the followers of Ahlul Bayt. Here al-Imam al-Sadiq says, inna a'da'ana 'abu 'alayhim khurujahum ilayna, they ridicule them for the fact that they came to visit us. Allahumma arham tilka alwujuh allati ghayyarat ash-shams, those faces that their colors have changed to the sunburn, wa tilka alkhudud allati taqallabat ala qabr al-Husayn. Al-Imam al-Sadiq prays for those people who visit. One day he tells his friend, his companion Sadir al-Sayrafi, tell him, ya Sadir, أتزور الحسين كل يوم? Do you make salutation to Imam Hussein? Do you visit Imam Hussein every day? He said, لا والله, ابن, cannot do it every day. The Imam alayhi salam tells him, Ma ajfakum, how much you are so ungrateful, unappreciative toward your Imam. Then he says, Man lam ya'ti, listen to this, brothers and sisters, this is very serious. He says, Man lam ya'ti qabr al Hussein hatta yamut, kana muntaqas al deen, muntaqas al iman. Someone who doesn't come to visit the graveyard, the tomb of Imam Hussein, his faith is not complete. His faith is not sufficient. وَإِن دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةَ كَانَ دُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِيهَا. If he dies and he goes to heaven, he will be in the lower levels. He will not be elevated to the higher levels. This is the description of the Imam. The Imam say, remember Hussein in every instance. When you drink water, remember Hussein. He says, إِذَا شَرِبَ الْمُؤْمِنِ الْمَاءِ وَذَكَرَ الْحُسَيْنِ يُؤْجَرْ بِهِ أَلْمَأَةَ أَلْفْ حَسَنَةً. 100,000 of hasanat you will gain if you just say Salam Allah al Hussein after you take a sip of water. وَتَحُطُّ عَنْهْ مِئَةَ أَلْفْ سَيِّئَةً. 100,000 of sins will be eliminated. وَكَأَنَّمَا أَعْتَقَ مِئَةَ أَلْفْ رَقَبَةً. 100,000 of, you know, people, of those slaves that you forgive and you set release to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that much thawab the Almighty give you. This is for salutation and paying visits to the dome of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. In such night, brothers and sisters, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely to grant you the opportunity, the ability to visit His holy burial site. That is one thing. The last one, brothers and sisters, it is the grief, the lamentation. Sister Afifa talked about that. She said that some people tell you, no, do not cry. Brothers and sisters, those weeps. If I may ask our dear sisters, please, I would not take it more than 5-6 minutes. Okay, we will wait until the lecture is done. Inshallah, we'll see. Him. Sisters, please, just for a few minutes, if you can briefly, you know, patience. خواهران محترم، خواهش میکنم اگر یک چند دقیقه صبر کنید، مرحمت بفرمایید. انشاءالله مجلس 5-7 دقیقه دیگه تکمیل میشه به امید خدا. یه صفر بذارید بعدش. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. The third strategy that was advocated and pursued by Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is the strategy of lamentation. The one that I just recited at the beginning of my words, where Al-Imam Al-Mahdi alayhi as-salam, an infallible, this is not a word of an ordinary person. This is not a word of me or of, let's say, a philosopher or a thinker. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. The word of the Imam is serious. The Imam عليه السلام says, يَا جَدُّ لَإِنْ أَخَّرَتْنِي الدُّهُورِ. If I were not able to join you. وَعَاقَنِي عَنْ نَصْرِكَ الْمَقْدُورِ. If my fate didn't allow me that I will join you. لَأَنْدُبَنَّكَ صَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً. Every day, every night, I will be mourning you. I will be lamenting you. وَلَأَبْكِيَنَّ عَلَيْكَ بَدَلَ الدُّمُوعِ دَمًا. Instead of shedding tears, I will shed blood. Blood will come from my ears. It's not an exaggeration, brothers and sisters. This is the Imam. This is infallible. Does not exaggerate. Those who say, do not cry, do not weep, they are either one of those two things. Either they are in abject ignorance that they don't know the power of tears, or they know very well but they are on the enemy's side. Cannot be otherwise. You see, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam says that you have the most potent weapon in your hand. The strongest arms are in your hand. Where he says, إِرْحَمْ مَنْ رَأْسُ مَالِهَا الرَّجَاءُ وَسِلَاحُهُ الْبُكَاءُ. Silah with whom? He's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. is teaching. He says, when you go in the front of God, no arm will help you. No weapon you can use in the front of God, except one weapon. That weapon, you know, can get you through. And that is your tears. وَسِلَاحُهُ الْبُكَى. Those people who tell you, do not cry, do not weep, cannot be, you know, a third instance. Either they don't know, either they are in sheer ignorance, they have not experienced it, or they have experienced it. They know it was one of the assurances of the legacy of Imam Hussein, is this tear. Therefore, they want to prevent you from doing that so they can prevail. The Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَخَرُّونَ لِلْأَثْقَانِ يَبْكُونَ وَيَزِيدُهُمْ خُشُوعًا. When he described the muttaqeen, he says one feature of them is that when they weep, when they cry, this is the most strongest instrument that we have in our hand. And Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, you know, used it as an instrument to assure, to ensure the legacy of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That has started way before the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. 50 some years before the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, the first one who used the weapon of tear, it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a story narrated in both books, in the Sunni's books and in the Shia's books. It is unanimous. Both accept that one day the Ashab, the companions, saw that the Prophet, peace be upon him, got out while tears in his eyes, weeping. They asked him, Ya Rasulallah, ma yubki? And by the way, the one who narrates this is Aisha, Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha. She narrates this one. She said that one day, Abu Bakr, Ali ibn Abi Talib, and a bunch of other companions were waiting for the Prophet to appear. When he appeared, while he had tears in his eyes, when they asked him what has happened, he said, nowadays an angel came down just moments ago. The angel came and told me while I was holding Hussein, told me, Inna ibnaka hada maqtul. This little son that you have, grandson, will be killed. Inna hada ibnaka hada maqtub maqtulun maslub. Taqtuluhu ummataka min ba'dak. The problem is that your nation will kill him. Then he says, لا أنا لهم الله شفاعتي. May Allah does not grant them, wouldn't grant them my intercession. 50 some years before the incident, the Prophet, peace be upon him, weeps and he cries for the martyrdom of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Again, another narration from Umm Salama radiyallahu anha, where it says, one day I dreamed the Prophet, رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. That day coincided with 10th of Ashura. She says that, رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَشْعَثٌ أَغْبَرٌ. I looked at Rasulullah, dusty, all dusty, shaggy. His clothes are not well knitted. You know, one feature of the Prophet, peace be upon him, he was very elegant, very organized. His wife said that, I saw him, his head is all full of dust. I told him, Ya Rasulullah, what's happening? Where are you coming from? He said, رَجَعْتُ لِتَوِّي مِنْ دَفْنِ الْحُسَيْنِ. I buried Hussein by my hand. I placed him in his graveyard. Those, you know, before the incident of Ashura took place, Al-Imam al-Rida alayhi salam says, كان أبي إذا دخل المحرم لم يرى ضاحكا. When Muharram comes, you would not see my father smiling or laughing. وَكَانَتِ الْكَآبَةُ تَغْلِبُ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمْضِي عَلَيْهِ عَشْرَةُ أَيَّامٍ. Depression will overwhelm him, will engulf him for 10 days. فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْعَاشِرِ كَانَ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ يَوْمَ حُزْنِهِ وَمُصِيبَتِهِ وَبُكَاهِ. That day is the day of grief, the day of anguish and tears. وَكَانَ يَقُولْ هَذَا الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي قُتِلَ فِيهِ الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. This day that Hussein has passed away, this day that he was murder. In the hadith from the Imam alayhi salam says, Al-Bakka'una khamsa. Five people throughout history have cried more than anyone else. And he described them. He says the first one, Adam baka ala jannah. When God asked Adam to leave the heaven, he cried and cried and cried for the sake of heaven. That was number one. Second, wa Ya'qub ala Yusuf. Ya'qub cried until he lost his own vision. Wa Yusuf ala Ya'qub. Yusuf also cried when he was in the prison. Wa Fatima bint Muhammad ala abiha. Fatima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Fatima used to weep and cry for the sake of her father. And the last one, he says that, wa Ali ibn al-Husayn, Zayn al-Abidin. Zayn al-Abidin, al-Imam al-Sadiq says, inna Ali ibn al-Husayn baka ala abih ashreena sana. 20 years. 20 years he was weeping. Sa'iman naharahu qa'iman layla. Every day he would observe fasting. فَإِذَا أَتَاهُ غُلَامَهُ بِالْإِفْطَارِ. When they bring him iftar for him to eat, كَانَ يَقُولُ لَقَدْ قُتِلَ ابْنُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ جَائِعًا عَطْشَانًا. The son of Rasulullah was killed while he was hungry and thirsty. فَلَا يَزَالُ يَقُولُ وَيَبْكِي حَتَّى يَنْزِجَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ بِدْمُوعِ عَيْنِهِ. He would not eat from that food, from that drink, until it get mixed, get it blended with the tears of his eyes. For 20 years, Abu Hamza al-Thumali goes and tells him, Yabna Rasulullah, ama ana lihusnika an yantahi. For 25 years you have been weeping and crying. Look at the Imam, what he says. He says, Ya Abu Hamza, inna Ya'qub kana lahu 12 walad. Ya'qub had 12 sons. فَأَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ وَاحِدًا. Ya'qub lost only one son, God took away from him. He didn't die, only he didn't see him. فَأَخَذَ مِنْهُ وَاحِدًا وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ حَيٍّ. He knew that Yusuf was alive, was healthy, nothing wrong with him, but he could not see him. وَقَدَ بِيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. He cried and he cried until his eyes went blind. وكيف بي وأنا رأيت ابن بنت رسول الله مع 19 من أهلي مضرجين كالأضاحي. I have seen the grandson of Rasulullah has been butchered like a sheep with 18, 19 of our household or sitting, all are drenched in their blood. You think this memory will leave me? How would I leave? The Imam will go in the market. He see the butchers, you know, slaughtering the animal. He grab one of them, tells him, Ya hada, hal saqayta hada al-kabshma? Do you give this little sheep water before you slaughter him? The man says, Yes, ya ibn Rasulullah, nahnu la nadbahu al-kabsh, hatta na'ruduhu ala al-ma. First we give him water, then we slaughter him. Then he looks toward Karbala and says, Aba ya Hussein, الجزارون لا يذبحون الكبش حتى يسقوه الماء. Those butchers, they do not slaughter the animal until they give him water. وأنت قتلت بجنب الشط عطشان. While the river is flowing full of water, clear water, they didn't give it to you. Again, Abu Hamza tells him, Stop that, يا ابن رسول الله. إن القتل لكم عادة. وَكَرَامَتُكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ الشَّهَادَةِ. God has, you know, ornamented you with martyrdom. Why you cry so much? He said, قُلْ لِي يَا أَبَا حَمْزَةِ وَهَلْ سَبْيُ النِّسَاءِ لَنَا عَادَةِ. Have you seen that captives, ladies, the daughters of Rasulullah, they get into captivity? Is that also a norm for us? Tonight is when the enemy have attacked the tents, the camps of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. The first thing that they did, they burned all the tents of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Those little children, those orphans, The widows were escaping from one to another tent, from one tent to another, while the tents and some of their clothes and dresses have been engulfed with flames. Hamid ibn Muslim said that I looked at one of the orphans of Imam Hussein, where the flame was engulfing her gowns. I stopped her. I put down the fire. Then I asked her, who are you? She told me, Ya Shaykh, hal qara'at al-Qur'an? Have you recited Qur'an? He said, yes. She said, Ya Shaykh, hal la qara'at wa amma al-yateem fala taqhar? Have you recited this verse? He said, yes, I did. He said, Ya Shaykh, ana yateematu Hussein. I am the orphan of Hussein. When she settled, when she thought that I will not hurt her, she told me, Ya Shaykh, ayna tariqul ghari? Show me the road to Najaf. Where is Najaf? I told her, Najaf is far away from here. What do you want in Najaf? She said, Ya Shaykh, inna abmati akhbaratni inna lana qabran hunak. There is a graveyard. There is a hero there in Najaf. Whoever calls upon him, he comes to his rescue. I want to tell that hero that we desperately need his help nowadays. Those enemies attacked everyone. Then at night they brought water to the children, to the widows. None of those children would go close to drink water. When they asked them, aren't you thirsty? They said, yes, we are thirsty. Then why don't you drink? They say, how do we drink? And son of Rasulullah was murdered while he was thirsty. Zainab was the one that she had to protect all the children, all the women. Therefore, she was calling everyone by name to find out where is their whereabout, to collect them all under one tent. She kept calling names until she got to Rabab, the mother of Abdullah al-Radi'. She called her couple times. She didn't find her. She was very worried. What happened to Rabab? She got out of the tent, got it close to the battle front, she noticed Rabab is holding the beheaded body of Abdullah al-Rabi', saying, Abdullah, now I have milk. You see, for a couple days, they didn't drink water. She didn't have any milk to nurse him. At that moment, she's telling Abdullah, oh, Abdullah, my son, get up. Now I have milk. I want to nurse you. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. العلي العظيم إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته.